And thanks, Jen, for once again hosting this call. A reminder to the participants, we do record these sessions, and we will make these recordings available on our website after the call is concluded. I am joined once again by Kathy Baskin, who is our Assistant Commissioner for the water programs at MassDEP. We're also joined by Yvette DePisa and Damon Gutterman from the drinking water program at MassDEP, as well as representatives of each of our regional offices, as we recognize that it's important that we're all hearing the same things, and if issues arise that might be things that we need to follow up on, it's helpful for us all to be together. We also are joined by EPA Region 1, the head of the drinking water program, Jane Downing, joins us. And Jane, I was wondering if EPA would like, if you'd like to unmute yourself and give us an update.
Thanks, Commissioner, and thanks, Jen. I got stuck a little bit. I flunked the test on I am not a robot, so I'm glad I joined you. So I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be with all of you, and I want to give another thanks to those on the call, to the water utility managers and operators who continue to protect us even through this crisis. And I hope that everyone has enjoyed some of the sunshine while still looking for some needed rain. So today I have information on an EPA webinar and a new tool that I came across that came out of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. On the EPA webinar, you may remember that previously I talked about EPA's Water Utility 2020 COVID-19 Financial Impact Tool. It is a spreadsheet that was designed to assist utilities calculate impacts on their financial operations due to COVID. And this is a tool which complements, I believe, what already came out of Mass Waterworks Association. So you have two tools to utilize when you look to try to figure out financially what your impacts have been. Related to that, on July 14th, the EPA hosted a webinar on federal funding to help water and wastewater utilities financially as it relates to COVID-19. It was tough to get on because there were so many people interested in the webinar. So if you were not able to participate, the webinar was recorded. The slides and the webinar link is available to all of you. Unfortunately, it's not on the internet. It's not on EPA's website. But if you send me an email, downing.jane@epa.gov, I will send you those links. And it was interesting because it included presentations by the Treasury Department, by FEMA, Rural Development, and EPA. So you have all in one presentation some good information on federal finances that might be available to get you through the pandemic. Finally, I would say that I came across another tool that came out of the Department of Homeland Security, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. And it is related to COVID. It's a exercise kit for utilities to practice recovery and continuity plans as it relates to COVID. So that's another area that may assist you in your dealings with the pandemic. So a new tool, a reminder of an old tool that EPA came up with, and information on federal funding. You'll have to come to me if you want the link to that recorded webinar. And I think that's it for now. Thank you, Commissioner.
Great. And I see Jen was already posted your email address in the chat while you were speaking so that people would have that contact information. Much appreciated. We're also joined by, each time we do this, we're also joined by the chairman of the Board of Licensure for the drinking water operators, Mike Maynard. I don't know if you have any updates or not, Mike, but if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself, if you do. And
sure, just a few quick things. The board processed three temporary emergency certifications this past week. I think one for Lynn Water and Sewer Commission, one for Dedham Westwood, and one for, I think it was Clark Shore. So there's three. They're still coming in sporadically, and the board is processing them. DPL has is back up and running. They are scanning in their applications so the board can review them. And there is a backlog, but that we are working our way through that backlog. I don't have a specific number about how many are sitting on deck, but the board is going through them and turning them over as quickly as possible. We have been receiving applications for online trainings and webinars. We're being cautious about issuing training contact, training contact numbers for those trainings, because the board wants to make sure that the participants are actually participating in the course. But we are working our way through that. And I think that's about it. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, Mike, thanks for that update. And this is sort of a natural segue in. One of the questions we got is there more information about training and test taking opportunities and options during these times? I'm interested in locating online training options. I'm interested in other resources or remote options like workbooks. And I believe, it may be possible if Kathy Baskin's able to do it or Mike later. As I understand it, we do have a link to trainings, including Google Calendars, posted on our website it's a long website address, but it's in the drinking water program training. It's HTTPS --// www.mass.gov/info-details/drinking-water-training. So hopefully Kathy, Damon has just posted it. Damon Gutterman has just posted it. So that's a resource. And we can also, if it's not up on our FAQs on our website, we can add that. And in terms of remote exam options for operators who are reluctant to enter a testing facility, Mike, I don't know if you have any new updates or any information on that.
No, we have not approached that. You still have to go to the testing facility. You have to wear a mask, and they're setting up, to the best of my knowledge, they are social distancing within the facility. So you still do have to go to the PSI training facility to take the exam. This would probably be a good time to mention the work that New England Water Works and Mass Water Works are doing for the exam preps. They are doing those online, and in just 3 short months from when they got pushed to Zoom because they were all in the locations, they have improved logarithmically. I participated in a training with New England yesterday online, and it was it was spectacular. I mean, they were polling, they would take, we would do playing little games. So the trainings to take the exam that are offered by Mass Water Works and New England Water Works are online, and you should check those respective sites.
Great, thanks so much, Mike. So the last update I would provide before we go to some of the questions and allow people the opportunity to ask their questions during this forum, is the is the financial piece. Jane alluded to it a little bit with the you know, form and the webinar that EPA is making available. We've talked about it on and off over these months, the big revenue impact to your facilities, to your operations that we expect from COVID. What I agreed to do in these calls is update you if I heard anything, or in some cases, if I haven't heard anything about various stimulus efforts that are going on. And at this point, again, we don't have a lot of information. I did, just before we signed on, I did notice that the U.S. Senate has a new stimulus bill, proposal that's starting to emerge. I know the House has the HEROES Act. How that gets, what that process is and the timing, they make it sound like they want to do this quickly, but we'll all be watching that as well. It's obviously important for municipalities as it's important for the state. Our state is operating under continuing budgets itself, state government, while we get a better sense of what the financial impact of COVID is going to be. So we will continue to stay in close touch with Jen Peterson and others if we learn new developments. But it's still something we're watching, and it is possible in the weeks ahead we may see something on that. In terms of questions, there's one question that we've gotten, and it is a suggestion that we may be needing to update our questions and answers, which is always a timely discussion, but it may be one that either Yvette or Damon could help me with. And the question is, does DEP have any more guidance on resuming or conducting backflow inspections? And either Yvette or Damon, if you wouldn't mind giving us the latest on that, and we will also make sure that if our guidance from a few months ago when COVID was at one place is out of date, we'll update it.
Yeah, this is Damon. I can take it. So for right now, our guidance does remain the same. If a public water system is prepared to conduct a cross-connection activity, and that means you have staff available and access to the appropriate personal protective equipment, then the public water system should consider reaching out to facilities that have cross-connection devices and ask them if your staff or contractors are being allowed to access the facilities to test existing devices, because we really don't know how many of those facilities have really opened up to having outside personnel in, if they're, say, a healthcare facility or something similar. In that case, then your staff or contractors should identify and follow any access protocols that may have been put in place at those facilities, including reviewing the recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So, in short, yes, we would certainly encourage you to try to do testing if you are able to do it safely, but you need to really do a one-on-one outreach to each of the facilities where you plan to try to do those activities.
Okay, thank you, Damon. And yeah, obviously the world is changing as we're moving through this event. We, as I've alluded to before, we at DEP are also starting to think about, more how do we interact with people, the public or when we're doing either inspections that we need to do or site visits we need to do, and we're also have been in the process and have developed some interim guidance that helps our folks make sure that they're operating safely, both for the people that they're interacting with, as well as the people we're with regularly. So with that, I think, Jen, I don't know, or Kathy, I don't know if any questions have come in. If not, maybe we could invite some right now.
Yes, Commissioner, I do have a question. And for those on the phone, if you're unable to put a question in chat, you can email me jpeterson@masswaterworks.org. Commissioner, on the last call, the question was asked about termination of service for municipal utilities. And I think it was expressed that that expired on June 30th. The FAQ, which you just alluded to, hasn't been updated, and some people were looking for that in writing. So is it possible that that FAQ could get posted that states that the termination exemption ended on June 30th?
Yes, definitely. And we will make sure that that's updated. And my apologies for not thinking of that sooner. But the guidance we provided last week about the expiration of that is still, as far as we understand, still current, that there's not been a new legislation passed that would change that. So we'll, Kathy, if we're able to work together, to just put that up on our FAQ today, that would be great.
There was another question submitted, which was non-COVID related. And I don't know if you want to address that or not, but it related to mosquito control activities and DEP's plans for the summer.
Sure, happy to. So why don't if you have some questions, why don't you ask them, and we'll give you the latest we understand, and go from there.
Sure. So if the drinking water program might explain their approach for pesticide sampling at public water systems this year, and what DEP outreach and coordination will occur, what lab will be testing the samples, and how can each public water system receive their raw water and finished water results once validated by the lab? And I know that's a lot. And certainly if the drinking water program would prefer to get me an answer via email, I can shoot it back out. I know mosquito control has been a relatively hot topic this year. The governor had a press conference, and there has been a task force that was just passed in legislation, and Mass Waterworks does have a seat on that task force, which is great. So we'll have some say in the mosquito control activities and what the task force is looking at. There's also a public water system who's represented on that task force as well. So there'll be opportunities for public water system input, but if the drinking water program has answers to that, that would be great.
Terrific. And I might ask either Kathy or Damon to supplement anything. And if some of this, we can summarize this and put this in writing and push this out in an email that you can share with your colleagues. But you're right, it is something that people are paying attention to. I'm sure you heard the reports about, I think it was the western part of the states where they had some hits and mosquitoes. So given the current threat, what is our approach for pesticide sampling at water systems this year? It's basically the same as previous years, and it's designed to provide data that ensures that there are no impacts of public health concern to water supplies and assure the public of this. Raw and finished water samples from systems drawing from active surface water sources near spray zones will be collected and analyzed for pesticide formulations analyzed as they have been in years past. What is the outreach and coordination? We will, as we have in the past, notify the public water systems, the departments of public health, and the boards of health of any confirmed detections above any reporting limit in finished drinking water samples. Detections that may present a public health risk will trigger rapid notification upon receipt of the results from the pesticide analysis laboratory at UMass Amherst, and we rely on US EPA screening levels to assess that risk. In last year's sampling, all results in finished and raw drinking water were either non-detect or far, far below levels of public concern. Public health concerns, I should say. Communications will be coordinated by DEP. We will be talking with not only with our Bureau of Water Resources, but with our Office of Research and Standards that is always keeping up on the latest health and toxicological data. and we will we can assist any public water supply or local health officials with communications. I think I already covered this, but the lab will be the same as last year, the pesticide analysis laboratory at UMass Amherst. And if you're interested in receiving the results once validated by the lab, that's communication between the you know, our regional offices and our Bureau of Water Resources and the system. So I'd encourage you, you know, if you're a system that has been notified us of sampling, to stay in touch. We will, of course, at DEP make sure we're staying in touch with you to so that you know what the results of this sampling were. And so it will be something where we will continue to communicate closely. Again, we'll make sure that where the protocols are clear. Again, it's a lot like what we've done in years past. And with that, I don't know if there's anything, Damon, you'd like to add to that narrative?
No, I think that was pretty good. I mean, I think some of the concerns that we've been trying to address with the various parties that are involved if an aerial spraying does occur are including like a faster communication from the pilots through their company to us about what areas were actually sprayed. Because if you recall, the pilots are subject to some fairly limited weather conditions. And so if they have to abort a spray area, they might spray a different area than was originally planned, so that they don't, you know, waste the night and the opportunity to affect, you know, mosquito populations. And that's always been a bit challenging for us to communicate that. So I think we worked on that a bit more last year with the, you know, the various agencies and the company that does the spraying. Hopefully we'll have a better handle on, you know, exactly what's planned to be sprayed and what is sprayed early enough so that, you know, post-spray samplings can be done appropriately. But again, I think as the commissioner said, it'll be, you know, coordination with MassDEP's regional staff through the public water systems that are in the affected area to collect samples both before and after spraying. And then we will coordinate, you know, transfer those samples to UMass Amherst and the analysis will be done by them.
Thanks, Damon.
Thank you for that. We have another question that's come in via email, and I know we have covered this on previous calls. I know people aren't on every call, but the question relates to whether DEP could share the protocols, procedures, SOPs that they have developed for site visits. So I know we talked previously about how sanitary surveys were going to be handled in terms of staff interaction, but maybe if you want to just briefly touch upon that, or if you have written protocols that we might send out?
Yeah, we've very recently been finalizing them for a number of inspection programs. And I think the drinking water program has still been doing some work on the sanitary surveys. And it would make all the sense in the world for you to know what we will be looking for if we're approaching you. In other words, if we're going to be, you know, asking, you know, questions about, you know, is anybody in the facility going to be, you know, has, you know, been exposed to COVID, or how many people are going to be in the facility, all the things that get to social distancing and, you know, the best practices that a number of, you know, operations are looking at. So, Damon, I'm doing this with a number of programs. And I'm just a little hazy on where we are with the sanitary survey. So maybe you could fill in a little bit of the details on that.
Yeah, I can give some general answers because it's going to be a little bit specific to each public water system and each region. But in general, regional staff with their management will decide if they can do a remote or if they can do a hybrid or if it has to be all in person. If it is an in-person, either a hybrid or a full in-person inspection, you can expect that we will send out some questionnaires ahead of time to identify who on your staff will be present, to limit the number of people present, to try to do as much ahead of time through email or telephone communication. But we will be asking each individual present at a survey, and we're trying to limit it to two if that's feasible, from the public water system to do a quick health survey, similar to what you may have seen already about, you know, have you left the state or exposed to anyone with COVID symptoms, or do you yourself have any COVID symptoms? And that could affect the ability to schedule a survey at the last minute, because, you know, the day before or the day of, we'll probably reach out and confirm that none of those answers have changed so that we can still come on site safely. We will expect masks to be worn by all people present, to do as much as we can outdoors. So if you can sit outside on a decent weather day and have the conversations, that'll probably be desirable. To really limit the kind of face-to-face, even with masks, that's necessary to do an on-site inspection. But again, we're hoping to finalize some of the paperwork that we're going to be, you know, sharing ahead of time, which is principally just the health survey, you know, a half dozen questions or so. But we do anticipate needing to come out to surveys certain more complicated systems and areas that don't have, you know, strong Wi-Fi signals for like a, you know, a Zoom meeting or a FaceTime meeting with mobile devices. So, you know, kind of a mix of techniques will be attempted, and we're going to learn from that as we roll them out. So, you know, as the survey season kicks off now, you can expect to be contacted if your system is scheduled for a survey this year. And keep in mind, we do communities every 3 years. We do non-transient and transient systems every 5 years. So we don't go to every system every year. You can think of your last survey and figure out when we are scheduled to come see you, and anticipate that regional staff will contact you if you're scheduled for this calendar year.
Thanks for that, Damon. And maybe what we could do is, you know, again, we've been working to finalize, you know, a number of different protocols. Maybe what we could do is, you know, give sort of the high level preview and even put the questionnaire up on our website, as well as sending it to Jen when it's done. It's close to being done, and we'll commit to pushing that out to you.
Great, thank you for that. I don't see any other questions coming in via email or chat. If we wanted to open it up for people to unmute at this point, if they're not able to email a question, if anyone has a question, *6 if you're on the phone to unmute. All right, I'm not hearing anyone or seeing anyone who's looking to unmute.
Okay, well, DEP has two homework assignments. Number one, updating the termination of service FAQ. And then number two, in the days ahead, as we finalize, you know, our general approach to how we're going to do sanitary surveys, including a preview of here's the questions we're going to ask. We will put that up on our FAQ, as well as sending it to you, Jen, so that, you know, you can push it out through your own methods of communication.
Great, thank you so much. And so our next call is 2 weeks. So that would put us at August 11th. That
right.
Works. All right. Right. Great, well, thank you very much, Commissioner. And thank you for hosting the call last time. Appreciate that. And we'll see everyone again on August 11th. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, and stay healthy.
Take care.
Bye.